Thank you, Doug. Hello, everyone. I'm Eiichiro Gokubo. Sorry, this is very difficult to pronounce in an exact way, but that's H, alphabet H and Ro, like Ro. So maybe you can now pronounce my name, Eiichiro. So I'm from National Astronomical Observatory of Java, and this work is in collaboration with Shigeru. And this, the title is Planetesimal Dynamics in Binary Stellar Systems. And this figure shows today's model. So today, this is the binary and the primary and secondary. And around the primary, we have a protoplanetary disk. So I'm now today we think about the circumstellar disk, not circumbinary disk. And here we have gas and also planetesimals. And today's theme is how the planetesimals behave under the perturbation of the secondary. And of course, I don't think I have to explain very precisely because you're almost professionals, but I just briefly introduce the motivation. The observations tell us binaries are more common than single stars in the Milky Way. So more than 70% stars belong to the binaries. And also the protoplanetary disk, they are common also among young binaries. And so far, we have found at least 5 extrasolar planets in binaries. And but so far, most model for planet formation is for the single star, like our solar system. So in the theory, so in the scenario, so we have single star and a disk, and then we want to describe how the planetesimal, or how planets are formed from the disk. But so we now need a theory for planet formation in binaries. So in this trial, well, we hope to describe how the planets are formed from binary and disk, and how the structure of planetary systems depend on the properties of binary and disk. So, and I just very briefly summarize the properties of pre-main sequence binaries. So the first, so in two, or not, maybe in a few words, the binary frequency is very high, over 0.5. And there are many, lots of kinds of binaries. The mass ratio is, of course, between 0 and 1. And so there are very close binaries. The period is less than 1 day. And there are very large separation binaries. So the period is about 10 to the 5 days. And the eccentricity is, of course, very, we have from 0 to 1. And eccentricity tends to increase with the period. This is the observation. And about the disk. Circumstellar disk exists for a binary whose separation is larger than a few AU. And circumbinary disk exists for very short separation, less than a few AU. So we have both observation, and some has both circumbinary and also circumstellar disks. And there are some previous studies on the planet formation in binaries. And from the point of planetesimal dynamics, well, there are two papers. The first one is by Heppenheimer. So I was very surprised to find this paper. This is late 70s. So in that day, we don't know how to make our solar system, but somebody, started to think about the planet formation in binaries. So I was very surprised. But so this is very pioneering work, I think. And of course, this is very modern version of this paper. So Mazari and Scholl, I don't know the exact pronunciation, but they do the dynamics calculation with 2D. That means no inclination, so plane problem. And they did not include the self-gravity among planetesimals. And there are some, maybe two or more papers on planetesimal accretion in binaries. These are Barbieri et al. And Quintana et al. So in these papers, they focus on the late stage of planet formation, where planets are formed from large-sized planetary embryos or protoplanets. So, and my interest is how the many small planetesimals evolve due to self-gravity and by the perturbation from the secondary. And this is the equation of motion for planetesimals. And this is our model. And so these are planetesimals. So for these planetesimals, equations of motion is like this. So the first one is, of course, gravity of primary and gravity of secondary and mutual gravity among planetesimals. And this is today's main, you know. And gas drag. So if there is a gas, of course, gas drag, we have to think about gas drag. And also, by the collision or accretion, the velocity changes. And so as we use the coordinate system fixed on the primary, we need to add the so-called indirect term here. But in today's talk, I neglect these two terms and mainly concentrate on the effect of mutual gravity. And before showing the numerical experiments, I would like to just briefly introduce the basics of celestial mechanics, because to understand what's happening in my calculation, minimum knowledge of celestial secular perturbation theory is necessary. So the first is eccentricity. Maybe all of you know what the eccentricity vector is. The eccentricity vector is defined like this. And sometimes, used by these K and H. But this is all the same, EX, EY, K and H. And here, the length of the eccentricity vector is corresponds to the magnitude of eccentricity. And the direction of eccentricity vector is the same as the longitude of pace center. So in the eccentricity vector space or plane, if the eccentricity vector is like this, the corresponding orbit in a real space is like this. So okay, please remember. And when we think planet formation, the important physical value is relative velocity among planetesimals. And relative velocity among planetesimals is given like this. And using relative eccentricity like this, relative velocity is given like this. And this is evaluated by using the dispersion of eccentricity, the sigma e, and defined like this. So this is very important in planet formation, because this controls the growth mode of planetesimals and also the time scale of planet formation. Because if the relative velocity is high, we have less collisions and planet growth takes very long time. And sometimes if the relative velocity is too high, collision doesn't lead to accretion, but just fragmentation. So this is very important physical value. And we will focus on how this value is affected by the secondary.
Are you assuming a planar configuration?
No, it's 3D. Yeah, I will show you. And this is the model. And so here, M is the mass, and AEI means semi-major axis, eccentricity, inclination. And pi is the longitude of pericenter, and N is the mean motion or angular velocity. and large omega is the longitude of ascending node. So, and primes, with primes, that means the values of secondary. And here, I adopt the binary like Alpha Centauri. So because there are some works using this model, it's better to use this and compare the result with them. So this is very close binary. So the separation is about, well, 225 AU, and eccentricity is relatively high, 0.5. And the initial conditions of planetesimals. So for this test calculations, I use 1,000 particles, and mass is 10 to 24 gram, and I put planetesimal ring with the weight is 0.1 AU, around 1 AU, and I change the initial dispersion of eccentricity, but always keep the ratio between eccentricity and inclination 2. And in principle, my initial condition is consistent with the minimum mass disk model. So this, so within this wing, we have 10,024 gram planetesimals. This is consistent, this corresponds to the sigma of the disk model, about 10, so which is about the value of the minimum solar mass model. And I use the Harmonic integrator with grape 6 and micro grape.
What exactly is your assumed distribution of eccentricity and inclination?
Well, it depends on the runs. But typically, about 10 hill, 10 reduced hill radius.
What
do you think? I'm sorry. You mean the initial value?
Yeah, can you give a sigma E and a sigma I? What's the actual shape of the distribution?
Gaussian? Oh, Gaussian, yeah. Oh, yes, Gaussian. Well, Rayleigh distributions, if we take the norm.
And your mean eccentricity is what?
0. So initially, 0. The mean eccentricity is 0. Yeah.
Is the surface density that's Gaussian, or is it the velocity dispersion?
This is eccentricity. It's Gaussian. This is I don't use Gaussian for surface density. So you mean for this distribution?
Okay. So the shape of the distribution peaks at zero and goes down exponentially with that width.
Yes. Yes.
And same thing for inclination.
Right.
Okay, so they're mainly coplanar.
Right. Yes. So in my calculations, always inclinations and eccentricities are low, very small. About percent angle. So first I give the random values.
Is there a reason why this set of initial conditions is usable? It seems very.
Well, this is very like very much like the. You know, system for the solar system. So because we have done many calculations with this setup, so to compare, so I first use this. So nobody knows that, you know, the distribution among or in the second binary.
I mean, just, yeah.
Oh yes, yes, yes.
You put stuff somewhere.
Yeah. Oh yes, because the you know this distribution is very 2D like, right? The scale height is very small, so in that case the gravity from well the discount encounters doesn't play you know much role. So that's one reason we can justify this small wing model, a small reduced wing model. And so before showing the n-body calculation, I'd like to introduce the classical secular perturbation method. So this is valid for if we don't take into account the self-gravity. So if the secondary is far much enough far from the plantation modes, and also the mass of plantation mode is negligible compared to the binary, and also the eccentricity and inclination are small, very small. The disturbing function of the secondary, or in other words, the perturbing potential by the secondary is given like this. But you don't have to care, you know, about the formula. But the important point is the perturbing potential is described in terms of the orbital elements of secondary and planetesimals. And so now we introduce the new variables, but this is not new because this is the eccentricity vector we have already defined. And you don't have to care. So in this talk about inclination, I don't assure you the result. So just look at the eccentricity vector. So using that disturbing function or perturbing potential, the equations of motion of planetesimals can be translated into the so-called Lagrange's planetary equation. And the equation is like this. And that describes the evolution of eccentricity. And so again, so this, you don't have to care about the precise formula of this Lagrange equation, but the important thing is we know the equation and we can solve this equation. And the solution is like this. So from this solution, we can see that the eccentricity of planetesimals rotate. So this is a rotating term. So circularly rotate around a fixed point. So you can see this figure. So this point, like this point, and around this point, the eccentricity circulates. So this is the basic solution of linearized Lagrange's equation. And so this offset is called forced eccentricity. And we can derive the analytical formula of the forced eccentricity. So if we don't have self-gravity, the planetesimal's eccentricity just circulate around a fixed point, around the forced eccentricity. So this is the solution. If we don't take into account the self-gravity. Okay, and let's see the calculation. So, and first I have to, sorry. So this is not PowerPoint. I cannot take animations into the presentation. So just, sorry. Okay. So first I'm going to show you the case. Okay. Without the self-gravity. So I don't know why, you know, I cannot have the both screens at the same time, so it's very hard. Okay, so this is the eccentricity plane. And this is the cluster of planetesimals on the eccentricity plane. So it circulates around the forced eccentricity, like around here. So initially, the shape of planetesimal cluster or eccentricity vector is circular, but due to the shear, because this circulation rate depends on the distance from the primary, so they sheared apart and make this kind of ring around the forced eccentricity.
No interaction.
Just effect of perturbation from the secondary. And so let's see what happens if we include the self-gravity. Okay. So this is the same calculation, just including the self-gravity among the planetesimals.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice point. I'll show you later. Soon. Yeah, that's the main point. You know. Okay, so this is the self-gravity case. So you can see this planetesimal cluster is not shared apart, but they stay together. And they circulate around the fourth eccentricity. So this is very much different from the no self-gravity case. And that means the eccentric planetesimal ring wobbles like this. So this is what I call orbital alignment of planetesimals. And as so Fred pointed out, due to the two-body relaxation, that this dispersion of eccentricity increases. Okay.
The direction of the binary area.
Yeah, okay, oh, sorry, I didn't say this way. Okay. Yes, co-planar, yes.
What more natural set of initial conditions would have been given zero free eccentricity?
Zero free.
By putting him in zero eccentricities.
You mean zero proper eccentricity?
Yeah.
Oh yes. Yeah. We. I can. Yeah. I did.
In fact,
some...
they're going round and round.
Right.
You put them down at zero eccentricity at t equals zero, but there's a forced eccentricity, so they go around in a circle.
Uh huh.
With a length equal to the forced eccentricity.
Yes. 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 Well, I did just one test with the zero proper eccentricity, and what happened is just the relaxation around the forced eccentricity. So that makes sense, right? And okay, just go back. Okay, so this is the snapshot of the last stage of the calculation. So please look at these colors. Blue color means the calculation included the secondary and self-gravity. And green, no self-gravity. And black, no secondary. So this means the case for solar system. So without secondary. So please, and so the eccentricity vector relaxes around the origin of the coordinate due to two-body relaxation. And we without no self-gravity, without self-gravity, you know, there the eccentricity vectors are shared apart and make a ring like this. And if we have both secondary and self-gravity, this so star-cluster-like, you know, so shape fluctuates like this. And let's see the time evolution of the dispersion of eccentricity. Okay. So same colors, same meaning. And this is time, and this is the mean eccentricity, a solid line, and dispersion of eccentricity dashed line. So first, let's look at green line. So green line is no self-gravity, but secondary. Here, the mean eccentricity first, well, this is kind of damping oscillation. And the mean eccentricity tends to the fourth eccentricity. So this dotted line means the fourth eccentricity for this case. And because the eccentricity vectors make a ring around the fourth eccentricity, that dispersion increases very rapidly. But if we include the self-gravity, so they don't, the eccentricity vectors don't make a ring, but stay together. That means they oscillate. And the dispersion doesn't increase much. This is a very important point. And this, the magnitude of the, sorry, no, no, no. Of eccentricity, dispersion, is comparable to the value of the case of no secondary. So it's, I mean, the velocity dispersion is almost the same as the single star case. So even if we have the secondary, but if the self-gravity among planetesimals are important, so we have the almost the same velocity dispersion for planetesimals. And this is also the evolution of eccentricity, but on the mean eccentricity vector plane. So it's a, this is a bit maybe difficult to understand, but so if no self-gravity is included, so they don't stay together, but they make a ring. So that means the mean eccentricity becomes what tend to the default state eccentricity. So that means they spiral inward to this force eccentricity. But we, if we have self-gravity, they rotate, but they keep the circular. So this is a bit different. And more, and this is more easy to understand the orbital alignment. Here I plot the mean proper eccentricity, so distance from the forced eccentricity against time. So, and here I change the initial velocity dispersion, or eccentricity dispersion. The black is 0.005, and blue 0.02, and green 0.03. And here, so we have the orbital alignment. That means the most planetesimals, planetesimal vectors, eccentricity vectors against the relative velocity, or proper eccentricities of planetesimals doesn't change. So they just circulate. So we have orbital alignment up to 0.02 sigma. But if we have 0.03, so we have no more orbital alignments. So because if the sigma is very large, two-body relaxation time becomes very long, and the shear time scale is becomes shorter compared with the relaxation time, and no more alignment is possible. So that's what I said. And so here I summarize two important time scales in my calculation. The first one is shear. So again, shear is because there is shear because the circulation rate of perturbation circle depends on the distance from the primary. So this can be estimated. So in this time scale, the eccentricity vector initially in a concentrated point shear the part and make a full ring. So this time scale can be estimated like this. And again, and here, the time scale of two-body relaxation. So in this time scale, the eccentricity vector relaxes to Gaussian around the mean eccentricity. And this is usual formula in stellar dynamics, and using translation into planetesimal, the planetary variables. So we can have this one. And this is very preliminary result. That means I cannot, I have not confirmed this condition by the numerical simulation yet. So the condition, orbital alignment is realized when the relaxation time scale is much smaller than the shear time scale. So comparing the two time scales, we can have the critical sigma, critical eccentricity dispersion, like this. So if the eccentricity is small, we can have the orbital alignments of planetesimals. But to derive the time scale, of shear, we need to put the typical separation delta A. So, and this is very difficult to estimate. So in this estimate, I put the separation, this one, mean orbital separation. So this is mean orbital separation among our planetesimals. by using this separation, we have this. But I have not yet confirmed this formula yet, so I have to do. So here I summarize my talk. So I would like to know whether or not, or the way planet forms in binaries. And as a first step, I investigate the dynamics of planetesimals around in a binary. And so what I did is we have planetesimals orbits perturbed by second wind and self-gravity, and then we have orbital alignment of planetesimals. So that leads to small relative velocity between planetesimals. And this is as large as the case in, you know, our solar system. So that means at least, well, the eccentricity becomes larger than some critical value. The planetesimal accretion proceeds in the same way as the solar system. Maybe. And we have, well, I have many things to do. So near future, well, I hope I can do while I'm staying here. I need to do more, you know, simulation with other parameters to check the conditions. So I would have to derive the analytical formula for the orbital alignment. So to do so, I need to perform more simulations with other parameters. And interesting thing is, if we take into account the gas drag, the situation also changes. I did some test calculations, and the behavior of planetesimals changes very much. And I will show you maybe at the conference or before the conference. I'm working on also this one, and yeah, I will show you later soon. And next step after we investigate, well, we know the dynamics, then we include accretion and check the accretion mode is consistent with the one predicted by the dynamics. And maybe some of you remind the eccentric rings theory by Goldratt-Treme. So that is very similar to my case, but the way to explain the orbital alignment is very much different, so completely different. And I'm not sure, you know, my way to explain this alignment is right or not. But yeah, I'm now trying to apply my idea to the eccentric ring of Uranus, and also this calculation can be used to the satellite ring interactions. And I'm now also making a code for ring dynamics. And I hope I can, well, do some work for the planetary rings also. That's all. Thank you.